afternoon. Welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this second hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right between Oasis Road and Pine Grove exits.
Near the pencils, but not the erasers.
There you go. And you can go up and see them and check out all the new John Deere products. They've got a great inventory right now. They'll be glad to show you around, show you what they have. They've also got a great selection of all the electric mowers and handheld products. They're also a Ego electric products dealer. They have a full line of the residential and commercial Ego products to show you. And go up and see them, or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And hot tip, if you still haven't had your mower blade sharpened or your mower serviced and your grass is growing up over your house, it ain't happening anytime soon.
Yeah,
it's going to take a couple weeks. And if you call them every day, it's going to take longer.
Yeah, they're a little backed up right now.
I might have just remembered that from the days we used to work together. The people who called every day, well, their stuff's...
Yeah, get in there and get in line.
Took longer.
And they'll get you taken care of.
Do it as fast as they can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a ticket.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So it's kind of like your thing. Yeah, call every day. How's my case? How's my case? How's my case? I'm sure you have those people.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Whoop, it got set back.
Whoops, it's taking longer.
Parts are on back order.
So your version of parts are on back order. What does that sound like in the district attorney's office?
Oh.
We have Stephanie Bridget here talking to us from the district attorney's office. By the way, we keep forgetting to say who you are. She's having a little cold. Still Stephanie Bridget. All right, Stephanie, what's the... we were going through the list of bad choices that we have made here in California.
Definitely.
That are probably currently being floated in other states.
Yeah, so the next bad thing we decided, and that, you know, is us, the people, voted for this.
Yeah.
2014 was Prop 47, and that is probably one of the biggest mistakes that the state of California ever enacted, because it's really caused, and there's like a direct correlation from national data and research that's occurred that shows the increase in homelessness, drug addiction, and theft has just skyrocketed in the state of California from 2014 up until now.
Was this the Safe Schools and Streets?
This is the Safe Schools and Streets Act. So it had absolutely nothing to do with Safe Schools and Streets.
Well, it did. We weren't going to get either.
Well, snappy name got it.
It was like no safe schools and no safe streets.
Right, right. So what it did is it if you boil it down into its simplest form into two areas is first, prior to Prop 47, the law was different. Let's say if a person had two prior convictions for a theft-related crime, the third one would be a felony. You get your two shots at the apple at a misdemeanor crime. You don't learn your lesson. You keep stealing. Okay, you're in felony. You're in felony. We can get some real sentences and hold you accountable. Prop 47 took that away. Took away that prior ability. So you can go out there and you can steal every day for an entire year, and every single one of those crimes is misdemeanor, 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 misdemeanor. They also increased the dollar amount from $400 up to $950.
Yeah,
so,
that one really hurt.
Yeah, so not only to make it a felony, it would have to be over $950. So it's under $950 every day for an entire year, and it's still a misdemeanor. And it's just
what a stupid idea.
Ridiculous. Because I think we talked about this during the break, that a lot of people who commit crimes, criminals, are actually pretty intelligent people. Mm-hmm. And if they applied that for good, they could do a lot of good
Imagine
in the society.
That.
So when the law changes, that criminals know. They tell each other. They talk. They know what the law is. And we have had cases where people, they go into Walmart, And they have a calculator. They have a pad of paper. They are keeping track of everything that they're putting in their cart.
In the beauty supply store. Yeah. I walked in right after they had left, and the girl was freaking out. She said, yeah, one of them had a calculator. The other three ran around the building shouting out the prices.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't even subtle. It was just shouting out the prices, and the person was running the calculator and said, stop. And they all snatched up their stuff and ran out the door.
Yep, because if they stay under that $950, and if they all do it together like that, it's still a misdemeanor. Prop 47 just gutted our ability to hold people responsible for theft crimes, and our businesses are getting crushed because of it.
I mean, just out of curiosity, do you know what I've never gone back and looked. Did it pass by a wide margin? I mean, was this
I'm sure it did.
I know. I should go back and look.
Yeah.
But people,
I'd be surprised if it didn't.
Me too, I guess. People kind of fell for that. I mean, they like to blame.
The other half of that is people need to stop buying stolen property, because they take that stuff right out on the street and say, hey, look, I got $100 worth of product here. I'll give you for $20. Well,
where do you think that came from?
Yeah. It's stolen.
So that, you know, we've seen so many companies moving out of California. We rightfully see businesses here in our own community that are just frustrated again and again. You know, why isn't law enforcement doing anything? My business keeps getting, people keep stealing. Why isn't the DA's office doing anything? I mean, I just want to assure the community that the law enforcement, they are still taking the reports. They are investigating those cases. They're sending them to my office. We're reviewing them. We're filing them. And then they stop right there because it's a misdemeanor and they never show up. There's no room in the jail. Thank you, AB 109, to keep these people in there. And especially when it's a misdemeanor, it's the lowest category of what's going to be kept in custody. So they're all kicked out.
So it doesn't matter how many times they get popped for stealing $400 of the product.
Yeah.
It's still a misdemeanor, they're never going to do time.
Yep. Because they're never going to show up. Our failure to appear rate is well over 60% of people showing up for their cases in court. So here we are. You know, our officers are doing all their work. The DA's office is doing all their work. And then come the court date, we're there, we're ready, and they don't show up.
Now, does that add any more to the sentence or the ability
it's another misdemeanor.
Bill, okay. you're gonna get another broken cookie.
Yeah.
Failure to appear on a misdemeanor's failure to appear charge.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's so much time and energy of us processing it.
Filing. You have to do it like it's real. You can't just assume they're not gonna show up.
It's just it's a ton of work that Prop 47.
Cost taxpayers money.
I heard you in a debate actually during the election, and somebody was alleging that if they got elected, they were going to turn those misdemeanors into felonies.
Yeah.
That's not a thing, right?
That's not a thing.
Yeah, okay.
You can't just decide
that.
I would have decided that a long time ago.
I was like, wait, that's not a thing. Yeah, okay.
That's not a thing.
So that's not, you don't get to make the law because, you know, we figured it out a long time ago. The people who make the law shouldn't carry out the law and vice versa.
Exactly. I'm not that part of the branch of government.
Right. So you guys have some latitude that we'll get to here in a little bit, but not that kind of latitude.
We don't get to just make the law and then enforce it.
And if you think it's a terrible law, you still have to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's part of it.
I mean, it seems like we shouldn't have to say that, but...
Yeah. That's a part of it being a...
That we've all seen it on Facebook, right?
The constitutional position is that you follow the Constitution, you follow the laws.
And people aren't concerned about it until it happens to them, and then all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Well, they want to blame the people who are carrying it out.
Right.
And in reality, that was done by the voters.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
That was done by the voters. Nobody did that to them. That was a group effort.
And they did that together. Mm-hmm. The state of California did that. So the second part of Prop 47 is that it took drug possession and made that so that was always a misdemeanor. So in
drug possession was?
Yeah. So you walk down the street and they find you and you've got, you know, 3 ounces of methamphetamine in your pocket. That used to be a felony. We could get arrested, get the drugs confiscated, taken to the jail. You're held in custody at least through to your arraignment, if not longer, because it was a felony. And you'd go through the process. Now That doesn't matter. It's going to be a misdemeanor. You've got cocaine, you've got methamphetamine, whatever it is that you've got possession
of. Can you have
of.
Lots of all of it?
Yes. So the only exception to make it a felony is if we can prove you're possessing it to sell, if you're selling it. That's a very big hurdle. So you could be walking down the park, you know, and have a pound of something in your purse, and it could still be a misdemeanor.
As long as it's not all bagged up in little bitty portions.
So if it's
that
bagged
might just
up,
be for, you know, easier access.
And you've got a lot of cash, and you've got, you know,
a price tag on
price
it.
Yeah, you've got, you know, a record of showing who you're going to deliver it to. You know, you have to have
scales.
A lot of that other stuff.
Right.
Scales, different things. But again, people. Criminals are smart.
Oh, they know.
They're not going to carry that stuff. This person's going to carry the drugs. This person's going to carry that. So many cases are just misdemeanors now. Just these people, it's unheard of that you're walking down the street and you've got all these drugs in your pockets and you're basically getting a ticket there on the scene because it takes so much work and effort to even take you to the jail.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to be immediately kicked out, we're going to file the case and you're never going to show up. And they're hitting person after person after person. So,
especially when they hit the same person over and over, which I'm sure is a thing.
Yeah. So before Prop 47, when there were felonies, it was great because we could file it as a felony, and then we would really work with them under another proposition, which was Proposition 36, to get them into some type of a treatment program. Often it'd be a 1 year or 6 months or 18 month residential treatment program. And they'd go through that program. They'd have this felony that's forcing them to go. They've been in custody long enough that they've sobered up. Their family's there supporting them. And then when they get out of that and they come back, the agreement would be, okay, we're going to either reduce it to a misdemeanor or completely dismiss it because the person is now clean. They're sober.
Right.
They had this hanging over their head. We had such a robust system in place with that we were doing here locally. Prop 47 passed, completely gone.
Yeah.
Completely gone. So now we just have all these people who are drug addicted. They don't ever show up for court. They can't be held in jail. We can't put them into programs. And it's just cycling. Now they're stealing more to
feed their
drug habit. And that's not even a felony.
And that's not a felony.
So,
oh my God.
So here we've got a skyrocketing of theft and drug addiction. And all of these people that we are seeing in our communities and on our streets, it is a direct reflection from Prop 47.
Mm-hmm. So the district attorneys in California, I'm sure not the guy in LA, but
Gascon is not joining our
probably
effort.
Not doing it. But even the kooky lady in San Francisco is a fan of getting rid of it.
We've got a new district attorney in San Francisco, and I've met her. She's
less kooky than
she's got her act together than some of the previous ones.
I was reading something about that. They're kind of tired of the revolving door, and they're going to try to make a change.
So the DA's decided, okay, that's it. We're gonna spearhead this effort to repeal Prop 47.
Yeah. So there is. It's called the Homelessness, Drug Addiction, and Theft Reduction Act. That is what we named it several months ago, as we've started this effort to. Because that is what Prop 47 has really caused, the homelessness, drug addiction, and theft skyrocketed because of Prop 47. Now, it was submitted back in the fall for title and summary to get. But
then the wheels came off?
No, we actually got a pretty good title and summary.
Really?
So, yeah, the title that you will see when it's on your ballot, and I'll explain more about that, and that'll be in November. The title is Allows Felony Charges and Increases Sentences for Certain Drug and Theft Crimes. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's not safe schools and streets.
No, but
right?
It's not terrible. If they really wanted to tank it, it could have been a really bad one. But I'll just read it real quick and then you'll see it. It says, allows felony charges for possession of certain drugs, including fentanyl, and for thefts under 950 for a defendant with two prior drug or two prior theft convictions as applicable. And it goes on and on. So it really does actually talk about it. But so a lot of the elected district attorneys throughout the state have gotten together to work on putting this initiative together, and also with other people who are not elected DAs who are working on this initiative. There's a big group that's working on it. And you know, wrote the changes. It's been, we've done a lot of canvassing and polling up and down the state. If it gets on the ballot, 70% of the people that have been polled said they will definitely vote yes. And that's across the board, Republican, Independent, Democrat. So where we are right now is that we're in the signature collection process, which is ending right now because they're all in, we're, verifying signatures because they have
to. And you
had
to have, like, what, 550,000 ballot or something?
Right around 550,000. Our effort was to collect close to 900,000, which we got, I don't know what the final number was because it's still being tallied, but very close to that to make sure.
And it's like collected. When's your turn in date?
April 26th. So
if you're out there and you've got one of those petitions and you've been gathering signatures, you got to get it in.
Yes, it needs to get in.
Can they bring them to your office?
No, they're collecting them in Sacramento at this point. I can't. Okay. I couldn't collect those at my office. But basically what it's done is that it is changing the two things that we just talked about. It's going to go back to the theft priors. So if a person has two priors, then the next time it can be a felony. We're going back to that system.
Oh, good.
And the next thing that it changes with thefts is kind of an example you gave earlier of three people going in together and working together. Well, we've seen that a lot in San Francisco and L.A., those smashing
those mobs.
Grabs.
Oh, yeah, you get
that.
Yeah, because all of those were misdemeanors because each person would take just, you know, a little bit each. Well, this change in the law says no. If you're doing it what they call in concert with another person together, then that can be charged as a felony, even if it's your first time.
Nice.
And
so if you were thinking about joining the smash and grab ring,
right?
You should probably
maybe think twice.
You should just stay in school because your joyride is coming to an end.
Exactly.
We have to take a really quick break, and then we will be right back. This part of it goes very fast, but the Prop 47 thing is a big deal. So if you live in California and have not signed on that, you better find somebody who's got one of the petitions and get that done. I will also post the address where those need to be returned in Sacramento. I'll put them on the webpage for today. It is April 14th, 2024. You're listening to We the People, and you can find that address at wethepeopleradio.us.
If we catch a criminal, when we catch a criminal, there's nothing we can do but play cops and robbers. Cops and robbers.
Go to jail finally, yay! After this passes, this passes, that song is going to become much more popular. Okay, so tell us some of the other statistics. So just in case you're thinking, oh, that's great, you're going to get it on the ballot and it's not going to go anywhere, and then you're going to do like you did when we recalled Governor Newsom, got it on the ballot and then you didn't go vote.
Yeah,
all right, you better go vote on this one.
Got to get out there and
for heaven's sake,
just in general,
yes,
people need to vote.
Yes.
So. Okay, so in the statewide polling, the data showed that 89% of the voters support changes to Prop 47 to allow stronger penalties. 90% of the voters polled overwhelmingly support the addition of fentanyl to existing laws, which we haven't talked about that yet. That's on the drug piece. All of the polling data.
I mean, that's insane. Nothing polls like that.
Yeah, that's.
And that's not just like registered Republicans who all used to be policemen.
No, no, no.
I mean, this is like everybody.
This is everybody. This is Republicans, independents, everything. And it's interesting because the polling company that was used to do this, they do statewide polls, and they came back. They're like, we've never had something polled.
Like something weird is happening.
Good. Everyone's ready for it. I mean, it's hitting everybody. Seeing these companies and people leaving the state, and what we're seeing so much locally. I mean, the amount of homelessness and crime.
I just met a neighbor. Yeah. Just moved to my neighborhood. She had 2.5 acres near the river off of Cypress Avenue. And she said, it's just, I can't walk away for 5 seconds. They've kicked the back door in and nothing happens because it's not a crime anymore.
Yeah. It's, I think everybody is, it's the perfect time for this to come.
Yep.
It appears we're going to have signatures to get it on the ballot. Then it'll be on the November election and people just need to look for that. I know I'm going to keep talking a lot about it between now and then.
Will it have a new number? Cause we talk about it all the time as the Prop 47.
It'll get a number once it has enough signatures and is on the ballot. That's when it'll get its actual proposition number. So all at that point, we'll let everybody know.
We'll promote the heck out of that because that's super important.
Yeah. We'll promote that and its actual title and everything. So people know what they're looking for and they know what they're looking for. But, you know, that's the three things it hits: homelessness, drug addiction, and theft.
Nice.
So, like we were talking about on the drug piece, the other thing about, turning all the drug possession to a misdemeanor, the problems that we've already discussed, this proposition is going to change that because it's going to do kind of like with the thefts. It's going to say, okay, you can get caught twice for possession, but on the third time, it's going to be what we call a treatment mandated felony. We can file it as a felony, but treatment is mandated.
And is there a time period involved in those three? I mean, is it within a year or within?
That's a good question. I don't think there was a time frame put into
that.
So
you get caught three times, you're
doomed.
And they get a treatment mandated felony. So that means not only drug counseling or whatever they may need, mental health, housing, it's written in there that is going to be an entire amount of services that is given to that person. Now, they could say, I don't want it, and then it just becomes the felony, but it's the third time is a felony, and we can go back into some of the other options we had before. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth time, it can go to state prison at that point. So it gives us a lot of layers in there. Another thing that it adds is everyone's heard about the fentanyl issues. Fentanyl is a real big problem. It is hitting every community. It's certainly hitting our community, and it's one of the most deadly things to come into a community in for a very, very long time. Well, under California law, fentanyl is not considered a hard drug.
Wow.
Because the law hasn't changed. The law hasn't kept up with fentanyl.
There was no fentanyl back when they picked that.
Right. Yeah. Right. So where methamphetamine and all of those are, which means there are a lot of sentencing enhancements that apply to hard drugs, but fentanyl is not a hard drug. So this act changes that. It classifies fentanyl as a hard drug. So all the sentencing enhancements, all the additional things that you can do with other hard drugs like cocaine, methamphetamine, and those apply. Same with this drug possession as it will be changed. It can wrap fentanyl into that. Mm. The next thing that it does is that it mandates on a statewide, across the state, to have what's called a drug. I'm not actually sure what they're going to title it, but it's basically an admonition that is given at the time that a person is convicted of selling drugs, transporting drugs. So it's best understood by an example, is if a person is caught, let's say, selling methamphetamine, they're in court, they plead guilty, maybe it's their first time, they're going to get probation or 16 months in jail, whatever it may be, and then they go on their merry way. Well, that person's going to get out and they're probably going to sell drugs again, right?
Yes.
That's what we think.
Pretty sure.
It's probably going to happen. So this change in the law says, okay, when that person's in jail and they're pleading in that first case for selling of drugs, they're going to sign and be read an admonition that says, hey, and this is totally summarizing it. This is paraphrasing.
So it doesn't start with hey?
It doesn't start with hey.
Okay.
selling drugs, hard drugs, fentanyl, cocaine, all of those things are dangerous to people. It can cause death. If you continue to do this and someone dies, you can be charged with murder.
Oh. But couldn't.
So that,
but they couldn't anyway?
So no. So we can anyway, but this admonition really helps in that process.
Sure.
Because
I
now that person They've been convicted. They've been told that these can cause death, and they get out, and they keep selling, and someone dies. We can charge murder, second-degree murder against them. Now, you're right. We currently can do that. Here's the problem. We have to prove that knowledge piece, they know it can cause death.
Because you can't verify that they're smart enough to actually have figured that out.
And most of these people are going to say, well, I know now because the person died, but I didn't know before. And that is like a really, that's their defense. They come in, and unless you can prove that they themselves know somebody who's overdosed and died by that.
Which just takes time.
All the things.
And so many loopholes to fly through. That's kind of a fun idea. You know, it's weird. It kind of reminds me of all the drug commercials we see on TV, right? And you think, don't people can cause death? You're thinking, really? That's a great idea. Well,
yeah.
So they sign it. It's in their record. And then if they're involved in that again, you pull out the paper and you go, over.
You knew. Here's the knowledge piece right here. We can charge you.
That's a great idea.
It's great.
You couldn't do that now? Well, who's going to sign it? Their defense attorney's going to say, don't sign that. You're an
idiot. So a lot of counties have started doing that. And here in Shasta County, we actually have started doing that. We put it on our complaint. So when they get the charges, it's written on there. But it's not universal. So a lot of people, their prior could have been in San Francisco that doesn't do it. And then they come up here and the person dies in Shasta County. So you have to have it. We have to have this universal. We have to have everything universal across the state. These additions to fentanyl, making it a hard drug, getting this advisement, all of those, that's all in this proposition, or what will be a proposition as well, that's coming in November.
Nice. So
it's got a lot of good things.
Yeah, I didn't know fentanyl wasn't considered a hard drug. That just seems crazy.
Well, just think of the next thing that is developed and comes out. Well, it's after the law was already written, so it's not included.
Yeah, you got to wait for it to go through the system.
Until the law changes. So, there's been that one has been one of the most devastating ones to our communities that we've seen in real time. The other one, I can just mention it real quick. There's a lot more. I mean, there's so many changes in the law. I could probably talk this entire 2 hours on all the different things. But I just wanted to highlight these top three. The other was Prop 57 in 2016. The biggest thing it did is, so by now you realize we've gone through AB 109 and Prop 47. We've really whittled down who's actually in state prison. You know, we've got up there, some pretty significant
bad guys.
Criminals that are there. Well, Prop 57 basically said, okay, if you're in state prison and you have served at least the base term, which I'll explain in a minute, of your sentence, you can apply for early release. It created a whole bunch of new credits in an early release program. So if we take a person who, let's say, goes because they have beat up like five different people. They've like really just, taken crowbars to them or whatever. So it's felony level, great bodily injury, but five different people. So they're convicted of five counts of that. Very violent crime. A base term is basically one count. So one victim. Let's say they get 8 years for that. This is just the way the sentencing law works. Wow. But they've got the four other charges that they're guilty of, too, and they're sentenced on. But they only get what's called one-third the midterm. So it adds on, say, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. So
it's like VA math.
Yeah, so their total sentence, let's say, is just 15 years, just grabbing a number. Prop 57 says, okay, after they serve their first term, eight years, they're now eligible to be released. And they can.
So the other two people that they beat half to death,
And we are seeing people that have gotten 20-year sentences getting out after 3, 4, 5
years. That's happening, because we hear about that. Yeah. But the regular people out here are going, what have we lost our minds?
And it's Prop 57.
Will this apply to people that are already in jail? Will they get like time served and get released?
Prop 57?
Mm-hmm.
It's people who are currently in prison.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and that's already on the books. We get those petitions.
When did we do that?
All the time, 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We did that in 2016. When did we do Prop 47?
2014.
2014, yeah. And when did we legalize marijuana? This is like a quiz show. So far, you're 2 for 2. I don't remember. It seems like it wasn't that long ago, but I did hear the year at one point.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's not.
I have that.
Because that has fed into this whole thing, too. That's okay. It's not material. But we did all of this. So legalizing marijuana. Is it somebody's, I don't know. The year I heard seemed like such a long time ago. I forget.
It's been a while.
I'll look it up. Look it up. Hey, I'm sitting over the computer. I could actually look that up. And
it was
get
Proposition
back.
64, but I didn't write down the date.
Okay. Yeah, hold on here. I should.
It's been within the last 5 years.
I think it's 2017.
Yeah, it's.
Was it 2017?
It's within the last 5 years.
Oh, here we go. 2016, California Voter Initiative. Okay, so it was all around that same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that.
It's like the perfect storm.
It's like that 5 year period. I mean, we've had it.
Because that's what I was thinking was it was all right in that same time frame. Thank you, Christina.
But that's not to say we haven't had a ton more since then. We have. Because, like I said, there's things that have changed. The law of homicide, the law of sentencing, the sex registration, everything has changed. Every year we get new stuff.
I'm just hitting
the top three big ones
now. Is that, and is the huge, I mean, we're like decriminalizing crime.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
That's the trend. That has been the trend.
Every year has been something that has watered down the criminal justice system. It's made it harder. That has taken rights away from victims, that have taken, you know, when I first started doing felony crimes, 18 years ago, I'd say, and I sent someone to prison for 50 years, I could calculate the math when I talked to that victim and said, the penal code says they get 50% credits or they get 15% credits, do the math for them, tell them this person's going to get out in 2020 or whatever it may be. I could give them a date, an approximate time, and feel a lot of confidence in that. This just eroded all of that. And all of it's been retroactive, too. So those people we told 20 years ago...
That your horrible person is going to be off the book for a certain amount of time. Now, all of a sudden, surprise, they're back in your neighborhood stalking you again.
Yeah, they're getting called saying, oh, they filed a Prop 57 petition that everyone passed into law in 2016, and now they can get out 30 years early.
And every time you hear it's a proposition thing, that went to the ballot, and that was passed by the voters.
Voted on by the people. So it's been disheartening the way this state has gone. So you got to caution our voters in California and voters across the nation. You've got to educate yourself on these, because when they title it as Safe Schools Act, probably think that it's probably a lot more in there than.
And then you have all the people who think, well, I'll just go vote no on all of them. But that's a super bad plan, because no means yes in a lot of cases.
Because we've got some that we need you to vote yes on also. Yeah.
Correct. Like, but a lot of times no means yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you got to be careful of no means yes. So then you have people who say, well, I'm not going to vote at all. Yeah. Well, then you basically passed it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't.
Yep.
It's just. Yeah, we need everybody to kind of get back on the
So is there anything in the works to counter the Prop 57 right now?
Or? We have to take a really quick break before we do that. But then we're doing that, and so I found a theme song for all of this for California. I did. I found a theme song. So hit it, Christina.
I can't get these memories out of my mind, and some kind of madness has started to evolve. I tried so hard to let you go, but some kind of madness is swallowing me whole. Yeah. I'm breaking the rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law and the law won.
Breaking rocks in the hot sun. Yeah, we're going to go back to that.
Yeah.
We're going to move from madness to breaking rocks in the hot sun. Who would have thought a song from the 1960s would say this, huh? Seems weird. That was seemed like a lawless era, but, well, in retrospect, no. Yeah. All right, so I'm sorry. You had a question right before we left.
I forgot what it was. You broke my train of thought. Oh, Prop 57. Was there anything in the works to kind of counter that, or are we still rolling with it?
Not right now. We're just really trying to hit Prop 47.
Right, right. Which should make a huge difference. I mean, Oregon, you know, I think they're now realizing that their master plan with the drugs and everything was a huge failure. And trying to reverse
legalize
all
the drugs. What could go wrong?
Like, what can go wrong?
Idiots.
Yeah. Didn't take long.
No. The wheels came off pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully they make that course correction.
Yeah.
So on crime, on like major crimes and things like that, you were going to give us a little bit of rundown. I know every county is different in every state, depends on where you are, what your how your laws are structured. But just as a snapshot for people with the volume of what's coming through your office. So you're not just like sitting around waiting for somebody to commit a crime so you guys can all go to work, right?
No, we've got more work than we can handle.
Yeah.
So in my office, I have 28, there's 28 total prosecutors. That includes myself. And then, you know, we went over kind of the structure of other people, but 28 prosecutors. We get referred to our office any given year, anywhere between 9,000 to 12,000 cases for review any year. 'Cause we're getting them from everything from, fish and game to sheriff's office, CHP, we can get them from Department of Justice, FBI, alcohol, ABC, all the different agencies that you can think of that we're going to get cases from. So every year we get a ton of cases. I had talked earlier about that process of when they come into our office and we make a filing decision, whether we're going to file the case or whether we're going to send it out for further investigation. But in any given year, we're probably going to file close to, I would say, 80% of those cases in that given year. Some are just declined because there's just not enough evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. A lot get sent back out, like waiting for drug results, further investigation, whatever it may be, so it could kick to the next year. But those are new cases every year that these... You know, 28
and they don't
attorneys.
All get resolved like on TV in the same episode, right?
So that's the point too, is that you got to realize that last year we filed around 8,000 or 9,000 cases, and the year before that, and there's only so many prosecutors, only so many defense attorneys and judges. So the caseloads are very, very, very big, and then you put on top of that stuff like Prop 57. So everyone who's in prison who's filing a Prop 57 petition, those all come to my office.
Oh.
And we didn't get additional funding for that. That is an unfunded state mandate. They come to us, and then we've got 30 days to respond, reach out to the victim, read the case, and file a response trying to petition to get them to not be released. That was added on to us. The same thing has happened for homicide cases. We got petitions back under Prop 47. It's just all the different changes in the law. We get different requests from someone who's in state prison. We call that post-conviction work. So where we used to be done at the time of sentencing for most purposes, now a vast majority of those things come back to our office after sentencing for us to continue to fight to keep them in jail. So not only are we getting...
You got to prosecute it, put them away.
And then fight to keep them there.
And then keep them in, keep them in, keep them in, keep them in.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Who's got time for that?
Like you changed the change in the law on sex registration. All of those people who are sex offenders who have been registering, they're filing petitions, and we're having to respond to all of those,
What too. Are they filing a petition about?
Change their registration status. So
can you just do that because you want it to be?
The law changed. The law changed in, I believe it was 2021. I'd have to dig it out of my notes here.
More bad decisions?
Yeah, in the last like 3 or 4 years. And it changed it to make a more of a tiered system, where it used to be if you were a sex offender, it's a lifetime registration. It's not that way anymore. Now, some crimes are registrable for 10 years. Some are registrable for 20 years. Some are registrable for life. So if you've
I did not know that.
If you've been registering for life and now your crime fits something that you say should be on the 10-year or should be the 20-year, you're filing those motions, and those motions are all coming to our office. So every year there's some change in the law that is adding additional work onto what we do that's outside of just what we get from our law.
And that's not optional.
I guess it's optional. We could not do it, but we're not going to do that. I mean,
you can't ignore it.
We're going to respond because we want to keep these people sex offenders. We want to keep people in prison.
So what if you didn't respond, just out of curiosity? Then is it like automatic you're out?
They'll be granted, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for Prop 57, if we didn't respond it, it still goes to the board at the prison to make that determination. Maybe they would grant more than they do now. I don't know. We're not weighing in.
Doesn't really serve the victims.
It doesn't, and we're not going to, you know, experiment with that. We're going to do it.
Yeah. Same too with the sex offenders. If you don't weigh in on that, we haven't helped the victims at all on that either.
Right. So we want to continue to help them as much as we can. So, you know, we can talk about caseloads in terms of just case in, case out that we get, but there's so many
other things.
Right. So many other things. And we're also involved in, like, officer-involved shootings. We're out. Our investigators, attorneys are out there on those. All those different types of things, or if there's a local sting that's happening by one of our agencies, maybe it's a prostitution sting or something like that. Frequently, we have attorneys out there working on those too, or staying up that night working to help advise on any legal issues. Our attorneys do. We cover search warrants 24/7, like every day, all day. We've got an attorney who's available to our agencies to review search warrants, sign search warrants, and give advice on search warrants. I mean, we have so many different areas.
Well, on TV, they just go right to the judge's house at night and catch him in his bathrobe and get him to sign it. Okay, so in real life?
So in real life, that used to kind of be the case. Because they would come to the prosecutor's house while, you know, we're in our pajamas in the middle of the night. We'd sign it, and then it would go to the judge's house. Now, we use like DocuSign and stuff like that. So it still has to have
a judge's signature?
Yeah, everyone is.
But it goes to you first.
It comes to us. We're woken up in the middle of the night to read it, review it, help revise it. Then a judge is woken up, and, you know, the agency's working all night long. So
I didn't know you were involved in it, actually.
Yeah, we're involved in every one of those.
That makes total sense.
So we've got an attorney that's on call 1 week at a time. It's like, this is your week. Okay, now that's your week, and you can...
You're on search warrant babysitting
search
duty.
Search warrant duty, so middle of the night, multiple calls. Our attorneys are out when there's homicides. They respond out to the scene on weekends for those. We're very involved in our family violence unit when it comes to crimes against children. So we're responding to the Children's Legacy Center when the forensic interviews are being done, which sometimes are nights and after hours or during the daytime. For a child who was just determined that they had just been abused. So our attorneys, they're doing a lot more than what one might think that the DA's office is doing.
Right.
We've got a lot of... And then those attorneys and investigators and advocates, they're also out going to schools, going to community organizations to educate
as well.
Doing
all the public service type stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to reduce the load.
Can
you explain what's the difference? You know, you hear, oh, it's a class one felony or a class two felony.
That's other states.
A felony is a felony in California?
California, we just have felonies.
Have felonies.
And if somebody is
convicted of a felony, do they go to prison? Or is that all kind of hashed out?
If it's an AB 109 offense, they can't. They can only go to our local jail. If it's something that falls outside of AB 109, then and it's a felony, they can go to prison. They can still, or they could get probation and just do some time here locally. Mm-hmm. There's the whole gambit of options are available.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily fill our jails up with felons just because we have all these felony charges out there. A lot of these folks are still out. as an agreement with their plea. So they,
For sure, we definitely have felony cases where a person is on felony probation,
right?
And they're being overseen by our local probation department.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting change in the criminal justice system.
Sure.
So if you got to be, you know, in charge of the whole thing, right?
Oh, I'd make many changes.
Yeah. So I didn't leave you with 1 minute because we have like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were, you know, queen for a day, and you were like, all right, in order of magical things I would do to help the public, you know, make this all work better.
Yeah.
First
and foremost is we need more places to put people. We need we don't need to be shutting prisons down.
Right.
We need here locally. We need a bigger local jail. But it's not just the jails. We have to do something with mental health in our community too, and across our state. There needs to be something better in place to deal with the mental health issues, because we can't just put them all in prison or jail. People with mental health issues are committing crimes, but a lot of times you get their mental health problems under control and they're not going to be committing crimes.
Yeah, so you put them in jail, they're just going to get out and commit again if they still have their mental health
issues. And I know this isn't a number you can actually, you know, none of us are going to be able to actually come up with the number. But just ballpark from what you see, how much of it is mental health, legit mental health, and how much of it is drug abuse causing mental health?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I wouldn't be able to speculate on that.
But that's a huge crossover.
All of those, yeah. All of those are at play,
As we have increased the drug use.
A lot of drug use can spur on and cause mental health issues to occur, get worse, that. So for sure.
So if we were able to kind of reel in some of the drug, the rampant green light on the drug use.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead and use drugs, and you're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to get rehabbed. Nothing's going to happen. And then we see, you know, all these weird violent crimes that you're like, the person had to be mental.
Yeah.
Do we track how many of those people are on, like, I know marijuana, now that it's, quote, legal at the state level. Is any of that factored in or tracked that you know of?
We're certainly not tracking that. It would be good to know.
I know. Your office wouldn't do that. That wouldn't make sense. Yeah. I just wondered if that's a stat that's rolling around out there that people are seeing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
It would be good to know. But, yeah, first and foremost, we need to make sure whether we have enough state prisons for our population. It's really just a population thing. Percentage of crime is occurring per population, well, we got to make sure we have enough places for that. And same on the local level, and then also something to do with our mental health. And we have to have enough drug rehabilitative programs too, because that can be more and more difficult. I've heard a lot of places are losing a lot of their programs because they don't have any attendees because of Prop 47.
Oh yeah, why do it if you don't have to?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm all for criminals going to state prison for sure, but it's not the answer for everybody when you've got mental health issues or you're doing your crime because of a drug addiction. Like, if we can cure those underlying issues and they can be productive part of the community, let's do that instead of have them in prison, because you're just buying time. They'll go do their 4 years and then they'll come out
and do it again.
Do it again.
Well, like we were talking about on the break, Steve that we spoke with on the Addicted Offender Program. I'll put a link to that on this page because if you're not aware of that program or it doesn't operate in your county, that's a really useful thing.
Yeah,
because
sure.
I mean, in and out of prison for 40 years, selling. I mean, he was a drug, selling drugs and stuff, and said, you know, I'm gonna try getting off drugs and then go to school and fix my life. And you think, wow, okay, it could happen at any time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So not having those programs available, huge problem. Not having jail as a threat.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't work with kids and dogs, right? If there's no consequence.
There's no consequence.
You're going to have bad kids, bad dogs.
Right. Why we think it's different with like adults and crime, I just don't know. But it's been a horrible experiment that we're all impacted by in our communities. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And needs to end. So,
needs to end now, so for sure.
All right, so hopefully the the repeal of Prop 47 goes on the ballot. We'll make sure and make that really public. Maybe yeah. after that gets on there and all that stuff, we'll do another program and we'll just talk about
yeah.
just that. Like, what will that do and
exactly.
why do you care? And help people, because we all get asked, right?
Yeah.
Well, how are you voting on such and such? Yeah. And then if somebody says, well, what about blah? And you don't know, you go, oh, geez, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give people a way to defend it.
Definitely give people a way to talk about it, defend it, to spread the word. All of that's important.
Well, right. we really appreciate right. it yeah. because the district attorney, I think, is often maligned and very much misunderstood mm-hmm. for how much power you have and how much control you have over everything, and there just isn't that much of it. We've been talking with Stephanie Bridget, who is our district attorney in Shasta County. First woman district attorney yeah. here in 8,000 years. Oh, no, wait, it's South LA.
100 and some years.
100 and yeah. something years. That might as well be 8,000. What the heck? There's no penalty for lying, right? And we will chat with her again on a different day. You are listening to We the People. The archive will be up this afternoon at wethepeopleradio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.